Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and we are having a good day in the studio. The conversation has already been fun, and you haven't got to hear any of it yet, so we'll get to that conversation in just a minute. We are celebrating the many vocations of women this week on Faith and Family, and today we are talking to the misses and the moms. We are talking to, well, you've probably heard the phrase before, behind every good man is a great woman, and we are talking to them today. We're talking to the misses, to the revs. We're talking to the wives of very busy reverends here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we're going to get to that conversation here in just a little bit. I hope you can stick around for it. We're bound to hear, well, the truth behind all these guys who do great work here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and how it is that they're possible to do that great work because of their loving wives who care for them so greatly. Well, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you to Concordia University, Wisconsin's page, and you'll see all the programs they have to offer and where they're located. All the great things that Concordia University, Wisconsin is doing. So go check it out, kfuo.org. It's a fun day here in the studio. We've got a great lineup, a round table today of the wives of our busy reverends here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we'll go around the table. I'll introduce everybody. Starting over here, we have Mrs. Tevia Grimmenstein. Good morning, Tevia.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming and joining us in the studio today.
It's my pleasure.
Now, everybody else, I think, almost half of the Grimmenstein family has been in studio here, so
yes.
you're like third to join us in studio today.
I know. It was half. It was half until February.
That's true. That's
now
true.
It's a little less than half now.
We got to talk on Faith and Family with some of the Grimmenstein kids last year about their homeschool experience, and Dr. Grimmenstein has been in studio before to talk about a variety of things, including international mission. Now, Dr. Grimmenstein serves in the Office of International Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, correct?
That's correct.
Very good. And also joining us in studio today, Mrs. Julie Day. She is, she's the wife of the Reverend Bart Day, who serves as the acting chief mission officer here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Julie, it's so great to have you in studio today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much for making time for us. I know that had to carve out some time in the busy Day household to spend some time with us. So glad you could be here. Also joining us in studio today, Maria Johnson. She's the wife of the Reverend Ross Johnson, who serves in mercy and disaster response here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, right?
Yes.
And you also do some work as well from time to time, correct? With some of the mercy you help out with. Well, do you help out from time to time with some of the mercy things?
I help Ross.
You help Ross, exactly. No, it's been probably, 3 weeks, a month since we contacted you all and said, would you like to be on Faith and Family, be our guests, and talk about, what it's like to be the wives of these busy reverends? And you've probably been conjuring up in your mind all the questions I might ask, and your husband's fearful of what we might discuss.
As they should be.
And thinking about, Mother's Day right around the corner, it's a good week to celebrate the gift that God has given us in the vocations of women. And so right before you came in, you got to meet Joni Harwell, who came up with this idea and said, we should talk to the pastor's wives and get the real scoop on really what it's all about. And so as I was thinking about today and preparing for today, I wanted to start with one of the questions that came to mind is where did it all begin? Where did you meet the love of your life? Where did you meet this pastor? Was it before seminary, after seminary, during seminary? Where did you meet your husband? And just give us a little bit of that story, where it all began. So we'll start here with Mrs. Grimmenstein.
Okay. Well, I actually did meet my husband during seminary. And it's somewhat of a funny story. My father is a second career pastor, and he and Ed were classmates. So when I initially met Ed and then went home that evening, I was able to ask my dad, do you know Ed Grimmenstein? And he did, and he had very positive things to say, which was very good. It was a wonderful thing. I knew right from the beginning then what my vocation would be as a pastor's wife. There was no question, because he was preparing for that life already. We had a very short courtship because he was getting ready to leave for Vicarage. So we met in October and were engaged in December, and we were married the next June. And then that next month we were off to Vicarage. So I jumped really, I mean, both feet right in the water, right onto Vicarage after we were married. So,
but you had, like you said, you had an idea of what you were in for. What
I did.
What life as a pastor's wife might be like. Now, I'm sure that that has unfolded over the years, and you continually learn what life is like in the pastor's house, right?
Yes. Well, primarily because my husband's calls to the church have been so varied. Mm-hmm. Parish pastor, then work as an army chaplain, active duty army chaplain, and now then serving here kind of in the more administrative aspects mm-hmm. of the work of the church. So we're kind of seeing a whole many different facets
Absolutely.
Of that life.
Absolutely. Julie, your story, where did Julie and Bart meet?
Bart was my vicar.
Oh, wow.
There's a theme here. Vicarage.
He was my the Faith Lutheran in Bloomington, Indiana's first vicar.
Wow.
And that's where we met. And we started dating in March and got engaged in October and got married the following May, right after graduation.
Wow. And it's probably not that uncommon of a story where the single vicar in a parish is serving there and he sweeps you off your feet, right? Is that how it goes?
Something like that, yeah.
That's not a warning to moms, right? Who are in congregations with vicarage programs.
Watch out for those single vicars. So you met on Vicarage, and you said you married right after graduation, right around the time of graduation.
Yeah, a week after graduation.
Wow. And so then first call, right?
Yes. First call to Houston, Texas. And wow. We were there for 14 years.
Was it Memorial?
Yeah, Memorial Lutheran in Houston.
Wow. And how many years did you say?
14.
14 years. Mm-hmm. And now here in St. Louis at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. And you two probably, did you know what you were getting into when you met him as a vicar? Did you have any idea what life as a pastor's wife might be like?
Yeah, I think so. My brother is also a pastor.
Uh-huh.
He's in South Carolina. And so certainly from that aspect, my brother and sister-in-law and you know, having close relationships to our pastor mm-hmm. in Bloomington and things. Yeah, I think I knew pretty much.
You had an idea. It was no major surprises then.
No.
Very good. Maria, tell us the story how you and Ross met.
Ross and I actually met in youth group. We were 17 and 19, and we met, and he was a really nice guy, but it took a few years. We were a lot slower. It took a few years for him to just woo me. And,
uh-huh. and as he should. As
yeah,
he should.
As he should, right. Yes. And we didn't get married until almost 3 years after we met. So, we've been together for quite a while, actually.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, my wife's listening today, probably saying it took him 10 years to ask me to marry, so 3 years is nothing.
Not too bad.
That's really fast in our book.
Yes.
So, so now you met, this was before seminary then, is that correct?
Oh, yes. This was before seminary. This is actually before we were even Lutheran. But Ross knew he wanted to be a pastor. That uh-huh. was absolutely, you know, the track he was on. He's wanted to be a pastor since he was 4 years old. And he said that was just what he wanted to do. He really felt called to do it. So I married someone knowing he wanted to be a pastor, but I thought he would be an evangelical pastor. And that's actually very different from a Lutheran pastor. So what I thought I was marrying, it's a completely different mindset. Uh-huh. And so, so I did marry a pastor. I knew I was going to marry one, but we took a completely different road.
Well, you opened a can of worms there.
When we'll just sit back here and you go.
So did he go to a seminary before going to a Lutheran seminary?
Oh, no. Yeah. We became Lutheran about 2.5 years into our marriage.
Okay.
Ross was incredibly disillusioned with the evangelical church. He just had a lot of theological issues. And thank God we had a friend that was also going through the same journey, Steve Parks. And he's actually a pastor as well. And he just said, hey, Ross, there's a few books I'm reading. It's something called The Book of Concord. I'm reading a little bit of Chemnitz. And he said, I think you should read these books. And once Ross read them, he just said, this is what I believe in. And he mm-hmm. found a local Lutheran congregation in California. And thank God, because he found a great pastor, a wonderful pastor named Ron Hodel, and he also found Pastor Alice Benoza, and they're just fantastic, and they brought us into the Lutheran Church.
So were you guys at, is it Faith?
We actually became members at St. Paul's in Laguna Beach,
yeah.
But yes, we were at Faith quite often as well.
Sure, sure.
Yes.
And Faith, is that Capo?
Capo Beach. Yes, Capistrano Beach, yes.
Very good. And now, and so you all have husbands who went through seminary, studied to become pastors. Tell us about your education, your choices, and careers. You all have various backgrounds as well. We'll start with Maria and work our way back down. Maria, did you study anything? What was it that you were hoping to study, or how has what you've studied helped you in your vocation now?
Well, actually, I graduated with a business degree, mm-hmm. and I want to say about 3/4 of the way through it, I thought, this isn't for me. But I was 3/4 of the way through it. So I just thought, I'm just going to do this. And I was done. And I've never worked in the business world. And it's absolutely fine. But when Ross went to seminary, I knew that you could work on a master's program. So mm-hmm. I actually received my master's degree at the seminary, at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And I also became certified as a deaconess. So that's what I did. But I wound up actually becoming a Spanish teacher. And it's funny how the Lord takes you to all these different routes, and I wound up teaching. So, but actually, the thing that I love most is to do church work. I absolutely love church work.
So, a deaconess, you have studied theology, you speak Spanish, you teach Spanish. Great gifts. How then does that? And so, are you teaching today? Are you a Spanish teacher now?
No, we moved here about 6 months ago, mm-hmm. and we moved in really at the beginning of the school year, so
sure.
that wasn't a possibility. Plus, we've just been in transition, just buying a home, and everything that entails. And
so, real estate moguls.
Yes, we have 14. Okay, yeah, no, our one home, but it's we're still in transition, so
sure.
I haven't. I don't have a job yet, no.
Have a job.
I have a job. I'm a stay-at-home mom and a stay-at-home wife.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. And so that education, while you found that you didn't really want to work in the business world, how did that education help in the things that you do today? Has it helped at all? No? Okay. Just curious.
I'm actually a little more organized, uh-huh. and that's about it.
Yeah. Okay, Julie? Okay. Julie, now tell us about your education, your background, and your choices and along the way. What do you do these days?
These days, I am the office manager at Hope Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. I've been doing that since October.
Wonderful.
Which is great because we've got 6 kiddos, and then I can get them to school.
Uh-huh.
We've got 5 at home. Isoba's at college, but we can go. I can get everybody to school. Go to work 6 hours, mm-hmm. and then I can get everybody picked up and go to all the sporting events and all that good stuff.
So if the people are calling Hope Lutheran Church today and not getting an answer, it's because you're here.
That would be correct. They're getting voicemail.
So let's see. Now, Maria, how many children did you say you have?
We have 2 wonderful boys.
2 wonderful boys.
Yes.
And Julie, you said you have 6, right?
Yes. We have 5 by birth, and then God gave us Isobo.
Wonderful.
So he's in college,
uh-huh.
and then we have a high schooler at Lutheran South, 3 at St. Paul's Lutheran in De Pere, and 1 at Concord in Lindbergh.
Wonderful. And now I hear from the Reverend Bart Day from time to time about critters too. How many? I know you have at least 2 dogs.
Some are not by my choice. I just like to put that right there at the beginning. Yes, we have an English bulldog. That's 2. That is Bart's dog, which means Bart should be taking care of the dog. But that's another story. And then we have a 7-week-old English bulldog pit mix puppy that is very sweet. And really more friend for Lulu than anything else to get her out of our bed. And we have 2 turtles and 2 snakes.
Oh.
Reptiles.
Reptiles that eat live things.
And you sound delighted about this.
I am, but I make sure everybody knows that is not part of my job. That is not my vocation.
So between managing the office at Hope Lutheran and a household with 6 children, a bunch of critters, and the Reverend Bart Day, you probably stay pretty busy, don't you?
I try to. Yeah, I try not to, Try not to be lackadaisical, just laying around eating bonbons all the time.
Well, I thought that's what the life of pastors' wives
yeah,
was.
Actually,
well, that's what pastors think
you
sometimes,
don't do
I think.
But...
Tevye, tell us about your education background and what you are busy doing these days.
I have a Bachelor of Music degree mm-hmm. in vocal performance. So after I graduated from college, I was very privileged to have a fabulous job as assistant manager of this Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, wow.
And I did that for some time. And after I left that job, I moved to Fort Wayne to be closer to my mm-hmm. parents, which is where I met my husband. So since then, I really have been a homemaker, a stay-at-home mom, a homeschooler, since Lydia, our oldest, has been in school. Although from time to time, I have had some opportunity to use my degree in the church and mm-hmm. out of the church. I've been able to conduct choirs, a church choir at our first parish, which was a wonderful experience. Actually, the night that Ed proposed to me, I had a big audition with the symphony orchestra in Fort Wayne, and I kept saying, just not dinner tonight. Not dinner tonight. I really need to get ready for this. But he was very persistent and proposed probably 30 minutes before. I just really botched that audition. I was so excited and just I couldn't get control of my voice at all. So, needless to say, I never performed with the Fort Wayne Symphony Orchestra. And currently, I'm actually singing with the St. Louis Symphony Chorus, and I've been singing with them now for one season and auditioning for my second season coming up here next at the end of the month, the audition will be. So that's been mm-hmm. very, very exciting.
Just and, a phenomenal group, too.
Oh,
just
it's
great
an
music.
Incredible group of musicians, and the orchestra is just world-class orchestra and the ability to sing under both our choral conductor and the orchestra's mm-hmm. artistic director, David Robertson, has been an amazing experience. So, and thanks to my husband, who watches all of the children and get them where they need to go on the nights of rehearsals and
that was my next question.
Yes. that's worked out very, very well. So,
because I've just had a little glimpse of the schedule of some of the Grimmenstein children.
Life, yes.
We were, what were we trying? We were, we go to the same congregation, we're at the same church, and we were trying to plan a meeting
was
or something
it?
Like that.
Oh, and that's right. And vacation Bible school. I think we were trying to plan vacation Bible school.
And Mrs. Grimmenstein sends me the schedule, like, okay, now we're available on these days and these days at this time. And I looked at the schedule, and I said, how do you even keep track of this? Does it involve electronic devices in keeping track of the schedule?
Sometimes, yes. And it is like putting a puzzle together, mm-hmm. really, with Ed's schedule and now my schedule and all of the kids' schedules. So,
and by all of the kids, we mean how many?
Seven now. Yeah, was six until February, and now we have a 2.5-month-old
who's sitting right outside
Boy,
the
is
studio,
he?
And just adorable.
Oh yeah, I just turned around. I couldn't resist.
And so seven, so we have seven, six, and two children.
I've got to catch up. Oh my goodness. Ross, if you're hearing me, we're far behind.
Seven children from ages 2.5, how many months now?
2.5 months.
2.5 months to 16.
Mm-hmm.
And probably on the older side of this of the spectrum there, they probably have a pretty busy schedule. I know you've talked about dance, ballet, swim.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
all the many things that they're involved
yeah.
in. And talented children at that, too.
Thanks.
They have blessed our congregation with great music. I call them the Grimmen Strings. Because they have this beautiful string ensemble that they presented music at our Christmas program and some other services at our congregation as well. Just very talented children. So you should be proud. And they were on here last year talking about their experience at homeschool. Now, and that's another thing you do as mm-hmm. well. You homeschool, you have home education as well, correct?
Correct, yes.
So,
I just did the bullet to my head. Not me.
Well, and every family is different. Every family has different needs. Every family has different strengths.
Right.
And so you've chosen home education for your family.
Yes.
And now the youngest is not really in classes yet.
Right. The youngest two. Our second to youngest is mm-hmm. four. So he's not yet studying.
Well, the youngest is 2.5 months. So,
right.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of FaceTime.
He gets a lot of FaceTime. But so you spend quite a bit of time in home education. How do you manage that schedule? How do you keep all that organized?
It is difficult, and I'm always very honest with mothers who ask me. It's challenging. There are days when you think you're not really sure why you're continuing on, and then there are days that I think, okay, this is why I'm continuing on. It was not a decision that we had initially thought about even when we were married. Both Ed and I were public school educated. I was very happily public school educated. I attended marvelous high school. At the time, we were exposed to just a very particular pedagogy that we really wanted for our children, and there are very few Lutheran schools that offer that, which is classical education. I know that the kids talked about that last year, and certainly not in the area we were living at the time. And so I made the decision that if I really wanted this for them, that I would do it. So, you know, of course, that was when we just had Lydia, which it's so manageable when it's one. Now I'm teaching five of them, and it's challenging. There is a lot of self-study involved, which is something I never really wanted for my children. I always imagined myself being very proactive as a teacher involved in every single subject that they learn. But it's beneficial, and my husband reminds me of the wonderful study habits that they're developing as a result of that. But yes, a lot of my day is hopping between desks, teaching a math lesson and then a grammar lesson and then checking spelling and then changing a load of laundry and nursing the baby and, you know, playing with, you know, it's we're all together. We do have one room in our house that is reserved for homeschooling, and so we're all in there a lot during the day, but yeah.
And you teach music as well at home too, correct?
I do. They do study a lot more independently now, especially the older ones. They don't really need me to be sitting at the piano with them anymore, but Joshua studies piano. We do that every day. Sarah, who's our 9-year-old, she's a violist, so I work with her often and play for them when I can, the accompaniments, so we can get ready for recitals, or just sometimes my 16-year-old will come down and say, can you play this with me? I really want to hear this with the accompaniment. So, yeah, there's some of that, and just we have fun. I do enjoy it. I'm sure we'll be discussing this when we talk about being pastors' wives a little bit more as far as parish life. And that's something that we've thought of often. If Ed were ever called back to a parish, would that have to be a consideration for us if they have a Lutheran school?
Sure.
It's been a wonderful part of our lives, and especially when he was active duty Army, when we traveled so much, to have consistency in their education was really beneficial. We didn't know that at the time we made the decision to homeschool, but it did work out for us really well. Yeah.
Education choices. Oh, Julie? You mentioned all the schools, didn't you, earlier?
Yeah, Lutheran. We went to, in Houston, we had a classical school that was Memorial had a classical school that was awesome. So here, Lutheran also, we just have one that needs special school district help. So he goes to the public school, and they're amazing there for him and all of his needs.
And one in college too, correct?
Yes. Isabel goes to DePaul in Indiana.
Wonderful. Anything you want to brag about your kids?
let me think. They have musical talent also. They have a lot of musical and singing gifts that they did not receive from their mother. I guess all their interior design gifts would be for me, since that was my degree. I don't know. I don't really see that in any of them, though. So.
Spatial awareness.
Yeah, spatial awareness. That's good.
Maria, education choices. How old are the kids again?
They are actually 6 and 8. So we have a kindergartner and a second grader. And before we moved here to St. Louis, we actually lived in Alabama, in Fairhope, Alabama. And Fairhope, Alabama doesn't have a lot of Lutheranism, you know, and so they went to a really good Christian school. But when my husband received a call out here, we were so excited to be able to have them just go to a Christian school. So thanks to the days, actually, they go to St. Paul's as well, and they love it, and we love it. It was just a really easy transition, and we love the Lutheran school system. I love that the boys are learning their commandments and, you know, and the catechism, and they come with a lot of just knowledge about hymnody, which I don't even understand sometimes. So it's really impressive. It really is.
Anything you want to brag about the kids before we go to break?
Oh, they're fantastic little boys. They're a lot of fun. They're sweet. They're kind-hearted. We just love them. We love having them in our life. And one of them is just really sweet and sensitive and very easygoing. The other one is just going to be trouble. He is Mr. like just and so our comic relief.
He is a cut-up.
And who does he take after?
Ross, that would be Ross.
Yeah, Ross, exactly. Just like Ross.
We are talking with the pastor's wives today here on Faith and Family. We need to take a quick break. When we come back for the break, we're going to get more on the scoop of real life in the parsonage, right? We're going to get more on that scoop here on Faith and Family right after this break. Stick around for more right after this on Worldwide KFUO.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It's well documented that deceit motivates and drives pro-abortion activists and the abortion industry. The latest evidence is from Planned Parenthood in Pennsylvania, thanks to internal documents leaked to pro-lifers. Since the horrific Gosnell House of Horrors incident, the governor is regularly inspecting abortion mills. This Planned Parenthood either had a scheduled inspection or had a government insider to tell them about a surprise one. On that day, they rescheduled all abortions for another time and added staff for effect. The informant also said they falsely advertised being closed on days they do abortions so no pro-lifers will show up outside to pray for and counsel women going in. If what they're doing is so good for women, why are they going to such great lengths to hide it?
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Author Tim Gagline, who served as the special assistant to President George W. Bush, talks about the importance of KFUO.
KFUO is in the middle of the culture. And if you want to impact culture, you have to be in it. I think that we owe the best that is within us to our country, culture, and civilization. And now with the advent of the internet, to the world. How do we find new ways to the rising generation of young Americans to share the good news of Jesus's birth, death, and resurrection? How do we use our moral imagination? How do we use creativity to get the word out? That's what it's all about. That's what KFUO is doing. It is making it new. It's saying, here is our great legacy and our great heritage as Lutherans who are privileged and honored to live in this country. I love KFUO for that reason.
On the radio, online, and on demand, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to worldwidekfuo.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
The U.S. Supreme Court says prayers that open government meetings do not violate the Constitution, even if they routinely stress Christianity. Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Counsel David Cortman applauded the 5-4 decision.
Opening public meetings with prayer is a cherished freedom that the authors of the Constitution themselves practice. and speech censors should have no power to silence volunteers who pray for their communities.
The court said invocations can refer to Jesus Christ or other religious figures as long as there's no effort to proselytize or denigrate others, and as long as officials make a good faith effort at inclusion. Freedom From Religion Foundation co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor says,
"We are asking citizens who object to governmental prayer to, if possible, get permission to give a free thought homily or secular invocation before their local board."
The American Humanist Association also was enlisting volunteers to offer secular invocations. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. Today we are in our conversations on the many vocations of women. We're talking with the misses behind the revs. We're talking about all the wives and moms in the pastors' families, especially with the busy reverends that work here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In studio today we have Mrs. Maria Johnson, Mrs. Julie Day, and Mrs. Tevia Grimmenstein, talking about life in family life for busy pastors. And before we went to break, we were sharing some fun stories and talking about children. And while we were on the break, we were just talking about some of the busyness. Your husbands all served in parishes before coming here to the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now they serve in administrative positions, which involve a lot of travel, probably more so with disaster response. Yes. And then national mission, mm-hmm. international mission, all involve some form of travel. Now, we were just talking, Reverend Johnson has been out visiting all the places that were affected by tornadoes in the South and just made it back, yesterday. Is that right, Maria?
It was Sunday night. He came home Sunday night, yes. The week before that, he went to Chile because Chile had, the earthquake, and he was there for the week. He came back for the weekend, and then he went straight out to the south and southeast, mm-hmm. and where the tornadoes and floods happened.
So how does that work with family life, with children, at the kind of at the drop of a hat when a disaster happens? He's one of the first to head out and go and bring mercy and to help organize what's going to happen, working with the local representatives, the disaster response person for the districts there as well, and the local pastors, so that things can be organized and help them come up with a plan and bringing witness and mercy to those, grace and mercy to those pastors and to the people in the immediate community who are affected by that. So he's just kind of up and out pretty quickly.
Yes.
How do you work that out at home, especially with the kids? How do you explain, daddy's got to go off and help some more people?
It's really interesting. I think Tevye will understand this, that the Lord really prepared us for this call. Ross was deployed about 2 years ago. He's actually in the Army Reserve, mm-hmm. and he was deployed to both Kuwait and Afghanistan. And it was a 9-month deployment, but with all of the training beforehand, he was actually gone for a year. And then he came back with some injuries. So he was actually gone from our home for about a year and a half. It was a very long time. And that really prepared us so well for this call, because mm-hmm. when he's gone for 2 weeks, there's nothing, it doesn't compare to a year and a half. And what we were able to do in that year and a half was we were able to really set kind of a routine and a schedule in our home. Mm-hmm. And also we were really good about FaceTiming, Skype. Thank God for all of these modern, mm-hmm. Just electronic conveniences. And, he calls. And so when he leaves, the boys absolutely understand his call. We've really worked hard at explaining to them what mercy is, what compassion is, what we as Christians are to do when our brother is in need. So they understand that really well. Mm-hmm. And so when he leaves, they get disappointed. But he FaceTimes us, he calls us, and then we get, we're still in our routine. When Ross comes back, he just jumps right in. And mm-hmm. I honestly believe that the deployment was what really prepared us for this. I think that had we not had that year and a half of separation, this would be a lot harder. So the boys, that was difficult for the boys, the deployment. But this one, he's gone for 2 weeks. They can do it. When are you coming home? I'll be home in a few days. And it's a lot easier. So, but they are boys. Mm-hmm. They love their dad, and they're 100% boy. There's nothing feminine about these two little boys. So I try to be kind of like the guy, tossing a football around, and they look at me like, oh man, teaching them how to play baseball. But when Ross comes back, thank the good Lord, because he really, really works with them with all of that stuff. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Julie, when Reverend Bart Day has to travel, and I know he travels quite a bit with National Mission, just various meetings and things all around the country, I don't know if they're always the drop of a hat type of situations where it's an emergency, but he probably travels quite a bit, doesn't he?
He does. Sometimes doesn't really tell me. I'm not in the loop as much. So for me, it might be a surprise. For him, it's been on the schedule for a few months. But he kind of gives me a as he says, I'm on the as you need to know basis. So that's always good.
Why didn't Dad come home tonight? Why?
Yeah, seriously, that does happen in our house. Aren't we waiting for Dad for dinner? No, Dad's in California. Oh, okay.
Oh, goodness. I thought he just went to the office, but apparently he's
he took a
in another state, another time
right
zone.
Right by here on the way to take some of the kids from dropping one off at South and then coming to going to De Pere. And we drive right by and Jotham one day last week was like, I say hi to Daddy. And I'm like, no, Daddy's in California. Oh, okay.
And Tevye, does Dr. Grimmenstein, does Ed travel a lot with international mission?
I think that will be coming soon. He's mm-hmm. had somewhat of a reprieve since the baby's been born, which has been wonderful, wonderful. But yes, he will.
And he started off primarily in missionary services and supporting the missionaries. So
correct.
Kind of the ground base here at home and making sure that they always had support from here at home. And now his responsibilities are changing. And so he's probably going to be out and about more, huh?
Yes. So. I expect so. But like Maria, our time in active duty mm-hmm. Army, I think, has really done wonders to prepare us for that. And I think when Ed and I were first married and we had kind of made the decision that I wanted to be a homemaker when we had children, someone gave us this really sage piece of advice, which was if you anticipate living on one income as a married couple, get used to living on one income. So even though I was working when we were first married, we didn't mm-hmm. use that. And I kind of feel like it's similarly with his travels, we've kind of established that if you're going to be used to one parent primarily kind of having responsibility for, you know, carpooling mm-hmm. and then just get used to that. And we definitely lived our lives like that in the military. Not to say that he's not an active
sure.
part of what we do as a family, but I homeschool, you know, I take them to their lessons. And we've actually had times even organizing our schedule where I've said to myself, if Ed were to leave, could I make it to A, B, and C and get all the kids mm-hmm. where they needed to go? And if I can't, then, you know, is one of these droppable for an evening or does one of these activities just need to go?
Sure.
So we've tried to be really smart about how we've even organized our family life around. I mean, we have a large family, so it's like I mean, we've really had to micromanage all that. But
sure.
But yeah, that's...
Sure, and just to clarify, if Ed were to leave on work.
Correct. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Just clarifying.
It was
that's
a
all.
Vague term.
Sure.
It was a vague term. It was
I knew what you meant.
My fault.
I knew what you meant. And I'm sure our listeners did as well. But if he had to be away for work,
he
understood.
He had to be away for work.
Vacations. How important is vacation and time away to rest, to relax, whether it's away or at home? How important is vacation in your households? We'll start with Julie and then we'll work our way around. How important is vacation?
Define what a vacation is.
Another vague term.
Sorry. Rest, recreation, not working.
Okay.
Does that ever happen?
Not for him all that much. I mean, our vacation last summer, we did go on a family vacation and it was to the youth gathering. So we all went with him. And then we did go to Houston for a few days to see friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was our vacation last year. A lot of times it involves work in some way. We're going to try to do something this summer. Of course, now the kids are older, mm-hmm. so we've got one in football, which is daily during the summer, all summer long, except for a few weeks off, that kind of thing. So then kids' schedules, we've got one playing baseball, so then kids' schedules get in there mm-hmm. too.
Holidays? Do you get to see other family on holidays or get to visit with others that you like to see on holidays or... How does that work?
We do. And we actually, this past weekend, it was great. We went to Concordia, Missouri. We went to a confirmation
mm-hmm.
and we got to sneak over and see Adrian Hines and Chris mm-hmm. Hines and their dairy farm. And that was very cool.
Did you get to bottle feed one of the calves?
We did not. Oh. We didn't. Adrian said it wasn't as sweet and innocent as you might suggest. Now,
that's funny. That's what she invited us over and said that I could bottle feed one of the calves. So it's not.
Yeah, maybe.
What was she up to?
I don't know.
Maria, vacations, holidays, time for rest. How does that work in the Johnson
household? Oh, it's absolutely essential for us. Mm-hmm. You know, Ross travels a lot, mm-hmm. and he's still in the Army Reserves. Plus, he has, you know, he's the Director of Disaster Response. So he is just on the go 24/7, it seems like. So we've made a real priority, especially when he went into the parish, to actually take our vacation and mm-hmm. go somewhere. And I think that's really important for the boys as well. So we love it, and we relax and we sleep in, and it's just a pretty typical vacation. Holidays have always revolved around the parish. And, you know, when we're holidays are not a time to go visit family. My dad happens to be a pastor as well. He's not a Lutheran pastor, but obviously holidays for him are, he stays in California with mm-hmm. my mom. And so we don't get to spend that time with them. My in-laws are really great. They will generally try to meet us where we're at. So, mm-hmm. but now this was the first year that we got to spend Christmas together and without Ross having to do anything within the parish. So that was really strange. I don't want to say it was neat because I loved it in the parish, but mm-hmm. yeah, it was just different. It was really different. Yeah.
How about in the Grimmenstein household, vacations and holidays?
We have had to be intentional about vacations because we have always lived so far away from our families. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that my dad is a second career pastor, so obviously holidays were not an option for us either. But we have tried to take time during the summer to visit both of our families so that our children can have time with grandparents mm-hmm. And so that's been very nice. I will share an interesting story of parish life, and I'm sure that many pastors' wives can relate to it. We were in the parish. This was probably our second year in the parish, and we had planned a vacation to go home and visit family, and somebody in the parish passed away. And it was a day before we were supposed to leave. This is the first time that that had ever happened to me, and I do remember crying. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there are sometimes sacrifices, whether it's for work, as Julie was mentioning, or the needs of the parish. Sometimes those needs come even before family vacations, but we do try to be intentional. Yeah, we'll be taking a nice vacation this summer to visit our family. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, do you need a vacation after the vacation?
No, but I have learned that I do need a good week to just get all the laundry done.
Before and after.
And yeah. Unpack, put away the suitcases, and yeah, clean out the car.
What about your vocation as wives, as mothers? What about your vocation is important to your husband's vocation as a pastor, as now a reverend in an administrative position as directors? What is important about your vocation that's directly related to their vocation? We'll start with Debbie.
Well, this is very interesting that you asked this question, because I initially wasn't sure that I should even come on the program this morning, not being the wife of a parish pastor mm-hmm. anymore.
But you've been there.
I have been there, yes. And I, Ed and I were mentioning that kids and I have been reading through the Table of Duties, mm-hmm. and you know, there's nothing in the catechism specifically for pastors' wives. I think we create a lot of laws for ourselves of how we expect ourselves to behave in the parish, or maybe what we think the parish expects of us.
Julie just said no, there are no rules.
No,
I did not. I'm shaking my head a little bit.
But, you know, obviously the Table of Duties to wives mm-hmm. apply to us. And in considering that, you know, word submission, I think in general we would probably all agree that we are somewhat in submission to our husband's calls, in that, you know, we are where we are because our husband is serving the church in whatever capacity that is, whether a parish pastor or a chaplain or what, you know, our husbands are doing here at the International Center. And so, you know, we support that. And I guess I always feel like kind of keeping our home and our family life intact enables him to go and do what he needs mm-hmm. to do, you know, in the work that he needs to do during the day. So I try to remember that and listen when he comes home, you know, in the evenings, just honestly, as any wife mm-hmm. would do, really, if their husbands are off at work during the day and then coming home in the evening. So
Great. Julie, how does your vocation as wife and mother directly relate to, or how does it impact Bart's vocation as a director here, as a, well, the chief, the CMO, chief mission officer, and Office of National Mission?
Very, very similar. When Tevi was talking earlier about doing a schedule for her family that did not depend on her husband, just in case he was gone, you know, he was traveling or whatever for work. That very much is us. I was shaking my head then because a lot of times he just gets pulled into meetings. He had, you know, he's trying really hard to do things, getting kids to sports or picking them up or taking them to a doctor's appointment. But a lot of times that's just not possible. So to try to make our home a well-oiled machine at home for him is what I try to do. It doesn't always work that way. Try to have dinner on the table, try to make things as easy as possible for him, just to come home and enjoy the kids and maybe go to some sporting events or whatever, but just to try to make everything as easy as possible at home so he can concentrate on all that he's got going on here at work.
And keeping the office organized, keeping things going well at church as well, too.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very thankful. They wanted someone part-time so I can just do, 6 hours a day and get kids where they need to go by myself and pick kids up by myself. And except yesterday we had a couple get sick. So that was a little.
And that changes the whole plan, doesn't it?
Yeah, that kind of changes the game plan, but on picking up and all that kind of stuff.
Marie, how does your vocation as wife and mother, how does that impact the work that Ross does and his vocations? And I guess we can include as deaconess, too.
Yes. When I married Ross, it's one of those things where I married knowing that he wanted to be a pastor. And like I said, it changed a little bit because evangelical pastors are slightly different. They're focused than a Lutheran pastor. But nonetheless, I still married someone who wanted to become a pastor. So I in my mind, I already had an idea of the type of support that I needed to give him. And it's a funny thing because everybody that's married, they have their husbands. Their husbands come into, come home from work. But there are differences when you're married to a pastor, in terms of if there's something on his heart or on his mind, he can't talk about it. And my husband's really good about literally keeping things to himself when he needs to. And so you see something on his mind and you can see something weighing on his heart. And all I can do is pray for him. And all I can do is try, like the lady said, to be supportive and to make sure that his home is literally his refuge. That's really important for us. Also with the boys, I try really hard. Ross and I really try to cultivate a sense of thanksgiving and love and compassion and mercy. I don't know that we're doing a good job, but we try really hard. And I think that for me and as a wife, I really want to be supportive of what Ross does. Mm-hmm. So I really try to cultivate that with the boys. And so when he goes to a disaster like Chile, I show them online, this is what Daddy is doing. This is what how Daddy's helping. And, when they have pictures on the LCMS.org, I show them pictures of what he's doing and try to explain to the boys, this is why Dad is gone. And it's really important for us, for them to have this heart, this Christian heart of love and mercy and compassion. So that's really important for us. So I don't think that my vocation is very different from a lot of other women. I just think that being married to a pastor, a reverend, does have some differences than some other wives, and I do enjoy it though. I love it. I loved when he was a parish pastor. I loved it so much that I cried when he received a call here because he couldn't have been in a better congregation.
Sure.
And I loved the parish life and I loved those members. Just God really blessed us with a great, great place. And it's funny how God prepares you, though, because this call is so unique and it's not anything that we ever even thought of. But I love that he's out there helping. And I really believe that when his home is doing well and when he knows that we're okay, he can go do those things. Mm-hmm. And I feel that support and that love really sends him off to go help the people of the Philippines or of Chile or of, Alabama, Mississippi or Arkansas or Colorado or everywhere he's been. So I think that when we have a cohesive family unit, and he fits perfectly when he comes back. It's really neat. So I love what he does, to be really honest. I think you could tell by my smile.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, with just about a minute for each here, and husbands and children, you should be listening. Moms and wives, we'll start with Julie. The ideal Mother's Day. the ideal, what would the ideal Mother's Day be? Sky's the limit.
Eating meals with my kids and my husband. No cell phone for my husband or any other devices would be really good. just a day. It wouldn't matter what we were doing or what we were eating or, you know, anything like that. It just to be together and have some, well, there's never quiet time when you've got six kids, but just to be together, I keep paraphrasing, just to be together with everybody and spend a day would be awesome.
A day together with everybody. No electronic devices.
Yeah, no electronic devices. No electronic devices. Don't
forget that one. Tevye?
I would have to agree with Julie, just a day together. We've had wonderful Mother's Days, of course, with church in the morning and then mm-hmm. coming home. And now I have children who are old enough and who really want to cook. Or mm-hmm. I think in the past couple of years, we've had a cake that's been made. I mean, I think they've gone all out. So yeah. that's been fun. But really, we just and go outside and play mm-hmm. and plant flowers or whatever. We have fun together. So, yeah, that would be a good Mother's Day for me.
Very good. Maria,
Ross, idea. Listen carefully. I'd like you to write me a song. No kidding. I'm totally kidding. And a poem. No kidding. I would actually, a perfect day, and we've talked about this. We actually talked about this the other day. I would love, okay, I have to preface this. Ross is awesome at everything. He's ridiculously good at everything but cooking. And I would love for him to cook me a meal. I would love it. That would not cornflakes, but I mean like an actual meal. But that's a dream. So I would love just to be at the park with the boys. Oh, we love to be outside at the mm-hmm. park with the boys. And yeah, just a meal, a picnic. That would be perfect. I honestly, I would love a no cell phone, but that's not going to happen. So
yeah, no. It's
yeah.
a dream.
It's a dream. Yeah, but it would be perfect just to go to the park, to be outside with the boys playing and throwing the football, and that to me would be a perfect day.
Just outside enjoying that.
Yes.
Everybody said family time together.
Oh,
now,
yes.
I thought you all would say every day is Mother's Day in our household.
Yes, Andy. Yes, it is.
We've got a little bit of time left. And Julie alluded to one of the questions that I had been thinking about earlier that I hadn't asked. When, if ever, is it quiet in your household? When, if ever, is it quiet in your household? Tevye?
9 o'clock p.m. 9 o'clock p.m. It is. Our house is actually more quiet than mm-hmm. you would think. But as far as quiet where I really have a moment to kind of sit and reflect or read or, you know,
you read?
Really just
do laundry.
I do know how to read a book. No, you're referencing time. I do have time to read a book.
Right.
I do have time to read a book.
Julie.
9 o'clock p.m. though.
Julie, when, if ever, is it quiet in the day household?
Very similar. It's after 8:30 p.m. after the two youngest are asleep. And I get up at 5 in the morning, and I love that hour before I have to start waking everybody up and, well, wake Bart up, but waking the kids up and getting them ready for school and all that kind of stuff. It's really nice just to have that hour, and I'm not doing anything fun. I'm unloading the dishwasher and doing laundry and, mm-hmm. you know, checking homework possibly. But but at least it's just quiet time with me and a cup of coffee, and that's it.
Maria?
Even if I'm by myself, it's not quiet. But I would say quiet time at my house is when the dogs are at the groomer, mm-hmm. my husband's on a trip, the boys are at school. There you go.
It's you just,
and
you
I'm
and
napping.
The voices in your head.
Yeah. I thought maybe you were suggesting you talk to yourself consistently all day
no,
long.
No, but I do crack up. I know.
Oh, we have had, I think this has been a great conversation, a lot of fun. We have been talking with the wives of very busy reverends here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's been a great conversation. So thank you so much for being my guest today in studio. Mrs. Tevye Grimmenstein, thanks for being our guest here
at
Faith
so
and Family. And Mrs. Julie Day, thanks for being our guest here
Absolutely.
At Faith and Family. And Mrs. Maria Johnson, thanks for being our guest here.
Thank you.
Coming up in a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance with the Reverend Mark Hawkinson. I hope you can stick around for that great music and conversation as well there. So stick around for more right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.